before a little bit of our break that we had, but Hanukkah got a little bit in the way of our regular schedule. I'd like to share with you an important idea. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. You look great. An important idea on the Inyan of Amunah, which has to do with Hanukkah. Hanukkah is all about that. Are we missing anyone over here in our Chabura?
More full than usual.
It's, yeah, well, that's because we have a new young man joining us in the back. Avi, Eli, which one is it? Eli, what, Franco?
Yeah.
Eli Franco. Thank you very much.
Menachem.
Klein. What did you say?
What?
Never mind what you said. That's it.
That's it.
Is all the Waterberries? Okay, Rabbi, let's get going over here. So we're speaking over here about the Inyan of Emunah. I'd like to speak about Hanukkah, even though it's a little bit after Hanukkah, but Kiyodua, Hanukkah is supposed to hold us out through the winter. That's the idea of Hanukkah, is that Helikoneris Bechatzus Kachecha, which we spoke about a little bit on Shabbos, that it's supposed to like go out, it's supposed to permeate, it's supposed to burst out of its confines. So Hanukkah is supposed to stay with us. So I want to speak to you a little bit about Hanukkah and speak about Amun, and then we're going to get into Yosef HaTzadik, which is the idea I'd like to share with you is as follows. And this is all in your schus, Rabbi Yisai, that I was mechavim to this thought. This is my own original thought, which is that the Yevanim were goes around three different things. It's a little strange that it goes around three things, because they really goes around everything. But Yevanim were goes that on Shabbos, on Chodesh, and on Bris Milah. Did you know that? Those are the three. Now, it's a little strange, because it's... They said you couldn't do anything. They weren't allowed to learn Torah. They weren't allowed to do mitzvahs. It's, you know, so it seems that these three are like the three main things. This was like really their main attack was on Shabbos, Chodesh, and Bris Milah, which is strange, especially with Chodesh. That's really strange. When I was in America, so Rabbi Witte, the Rav in the shul there, was talking about Rosh Chodesh. Like, why? Shabbos, I hear it's every week. You know what I mean? It's an important part of our life. But Rosh Chodesh is like, what?
Everything is based on Rosh Chodesh.
You mean every Yom Tov? They don't have Rosh. Yeah. Okay. But what? Yeah, those are all ISIS. That's the basic idea. They're all considered signs. ISIS. But I want to take it to another level. Okay, Zundel. Zundel's saying good that each one of them is an ISIS. I want to take it to another level. And here goes. I'm going to say it as follows. Shabbos and Chodesh. We're going to start speaking about Shabbos. What is Shabbos about? If someone wanted to really get to the bottom of Shabbos, what is it? What is Shabbos an ois? What is it a ois to? It's a what? Ois hila olam. Yeah. So what does that mean?
Creating the world.
Shefter Hashem gave us.
But what is Shabbos attest to? What is
the
Hashem created the world? Basically, what were you saying, Yitzi? Hashem created the world. It's a testimony that Hashem created. It's belief in God, belief in the Creator. That's what it is, Shabbos. And Shabbos is very much a litmus test to are we considered to be religious or not religious. A person that's religious is called a Shomer Shabbos. That's what it's called. It's like a definition of a person, very much. Is he a Shomer Shabbos or not? What does that mean? Do you believe in God or do you not believe in God? That's basically what it's about. Shabbos is belief. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues. Mechadish b'tuvah b'chol yom tov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one running the world, right? It's a big challenge of people to keep Shabbos, especially in the face of Parnassah. Why is that? Because Hashem runs the world. Hashem gives you parnasa. Hashem does, you know, some people like, I was talking to a person on the plane. Fascinating guy. I hope I get to introduce you to him one of these days. Really interesting guy. But he grew up dirt poor. And, I don't know how religious he grew up in the first place. But it's like, okay, you know what I'm supposed to do? I had to work on Shabbos. I didn't have a choice. So he became Machal Shabbos because he didn't have the right amount of emunah, really. That's what it boils down to. If you believe in Hashem, so then I'm not judging people, but Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one who, he's the one who gives parnasa. Right? So Shabbos is really a litmus test in how much faith you have. He's a fascinating person, everything about him. He's changed a lot. Yeah, he's very, very spiritual. He's still got some issues, but he's working on his issues. Not sure.
Famous?
Is he famous? Depends. Not, you don't know him. He's very wealthy and he's very accomplished. You don't know him. What? He became very wealthy. Yes, he's very, very wealthy.
He's poor now. He's rich.
He's extremely wealthy now.
What was his route to success?
He worked very hard. I guess he's extremely wealthy. He's actually on the board of Teva. You know what Teva is?
Yeah.
Teva is one of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the entire world. Happens to be based here in Israel, and he's on the board of Teva amongst the other things that he does. He's very involved in Eishet Torah. Other things we'll talk about him at a different time. Anyway, Kitzer. So what's my point? Shabbos is about Emuna in Hashem. You got it? Now let's talk about Rosh Chodesh for a second. This interesting thing, when a person, it's Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, do you know what we say in the davening? Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Azmanim. We don't say Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Azmanim V'Yisrael, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Azmanim V'Azmanim. Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Azmanim. Why is that? The Gemara says, because Hashem is Mekadesh HaShabbos, and is Mekadesh Yisrael, and they are Mekadesh V'Azmanim. Yisrael is Mekadesh L'Zmanim. How is Yisrael Mekadesh L'Zmanim? How do they do that? Kiddush HaChodesh. Right. Kiddush HaChodesh. Kiddush Levana, whatever it is. Kiddush HaChodesh. In other words, the we are the ones that are Koyveh when it's Rosh Chodesh. Do you know that? What happens if there's a new moon and no one sees it? Is it Rosh Chodesh?
Nope.
No. Wow. The Gemara even speaks about what happens if... It's here. The Gemara even speaks about what happens if... they saw it, but didn't get into Beis Din in time. And they're like, I saw the too late. It's after Shkia. You're done. It's no Rosh Chodesh.
Cloudy for a couple of days, and the next month is going to be shorter.
Then they have to somehow make. They have to adjust it. Yeah. But the point is like this: Rosh Chodesh happens when Beis Din says the magic words. Does anyone know what the magic words are? Two words, the same word twice. Nope. Close. Mekudosh.
Mekudosh.
Those are the magic words. There it is. Mekudosh, Mekudosh. You got it? So what does it boil down to? A Shchodesh. But hold on a second. What happens if the rabbis make a mistake? What happens if the rabbis make a mistake? You know there's a story in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. You know that story?
No, I see where this is going.
You see where this is going, right? Yes, you see where this is going. Well, there's a very interesting story in a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah where there was a debate as to which day was Rosh Chodesh. They're having an argument. Yom Kippur. And what happened?
He may walk with a stick in his hand.
You know why? Because if the Chachamim say this is Rosh Chodesh, you have Yeshua, Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Akiva. Excellent. So if I wanted to give a definition of what is the underlying principle of Rosh Chodesh, what would Yossi Hafman say it is? Yeah, there you go. Amunas Chachamim. Rosh Chodesh is about Amunas Chachamim. That's what it is. It's a covenant that we have faith in our Chachamim, that the Chachamim are the ones that we turn to. And the Yevanim were very against that. They were extremely against the Chachamim. And there's a whole idea by none other than Reb Schneir Cutler and others also, Reb Tzadok HaKohen, but Reb Schneir will focus on him because he's going to give a Lakewood shout out. And that is that, what was the reason the Chashmonaim took over the Malchus? It's a little strange. Because he says this is a concept called Man Malchi Rabbanon, which is that Rabbanon are really the real kings. And the Chashmonaim were all big Talmidei Chachamim, so they wanted to like establish, we have faith in our rabbis. That's what the Yevanim were trying to knock down, faith in the Rabbanim. They're trying to break that. That's why they wanted to translate the Torah into English or to Greek. Why? Because, why they want to translate it? Because everything the Chachamim do is because they like link words, Hekesh, Gezerah Shaveh, Gematrias, all the types of things that has to do with the words. So if we put it all into a different language, it kind of like, it knocks out half of them, makes it like obsolete. You can't do that. You can't do a Hekesh in English or Greek. The Yevanim were trying to fight against our rabbis. That's Rosh Chodesh. What's Bris Milah? What's Bris Milah? What's the point of having a Bris Milah? You want to tell me? Yes, he's going to help us out with this one. What? Yeah, it's called, it's belief in yourself. It's a covenant between you and Hashem. You are a chosen person. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you are part of my people. We all walk around. We're part of a gang. Okay, guys? We're all part of a gang. And we all have a tattoo right here on our arm. Well, it's not on our arm. It's a different place. But we all have a tattoo. And then if anyone wants to know if you're Jewish, they have a way of figuring out if you're Jewish. That is our sign that we are special. I want to tell you something. The Mishnah in the Durham says the following. Let's say a man gets up and says, listen, I don't want to get Hanah from anyone that has a bris milah. That's what he says. Gets up and says that. Is he allowed to get Hanah from any Jews? No. What about if a goy has a circumcision? Is he allowed to get Hanah from him?
Yes.
Yes. Why?
It's nothing.
Not part of the team.
You're not part of the team. That is not Zermas Susim Zermasim. You are not part of the team. We, every single one of us, are in. We're part of the club. We're part of the team. We're part of the boys. We are considered Am Hanivchar, chosen people. Chosen people. 100% we are. And that is symbolized in the oath of the Bris Milah, which means belief in yourself. You're important, you're different, you're capable, you're important. We don't include anyone in the club unless we feel like you have what to contribute. Right? You get in because you're a part of the club, you're the boys. That's belief in yourself. So these three things, which we said, each one of them is an ice for something else. Shabbos is an ice for Amun and Hashem. Chodesh is an ice for Amun and Chachamim. And Bris Milah is an ice for Amun Be'atzmacha. It's Amun in yourself. And that's what, you like that, right? That's Chanukah, my friends. Now we're going to move on to the perhaps the most challenging era in history, for at least for an individual, is Yosef HaTzadik. Now, Yosef, after he got this glorious tradition from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and we spoke about how each one is Avram is Emunah in Hashem. There was no one else out there, just Avram and Hashem. Yitzchak is Emunah in Chachamim. Who did he believe? His father. Even though it made no sense to bring yourself as a korban, made no sense. I wanted to kill myself because my father said that's what to do. I believe my father. And Yaakov is Emunah in himself. Did we speak about Ata Eloka Belyonim? Vani Eloka Betachtoinim. Yaakov said, I am it.
Yeah.
I am it, Yaakov Avinu said about himself. What does that mean? I represent God. I'm here. I was flying on a plane, and there was a very wealthy man, and his driver was flying first class. His driver. You understand? You hear me, Ralph? I was flying on a plane, and this guy, a very wealthy man's driver, is flying first class. He flew his, you know why? Because that's, you know,
my driver.
He's Richie Rich's driver, you know what I mean? So he's first class, you know? So we're HaKadosh Baruch Hu's representative in this world. We're big stuff. That's what Yaakov said. Ani Elokah B'tachtoinim, down here. I'm big stuff. Yaakov Avinu believed in himself and about how important he was. Now, Yosef inherited those three very glorious traditions that he got, a legacy that he got, and Hashem put him to the test. Yosef really was put to the test. He was put to the test with his brothers. And he had a rough time getting along with his brothers. He wasn't trying to do anything wrong. But they were not happy with his chaloim. They weren't happy that he got ksoinis pasim. His brothers were jealous of him. I'm not judging anyone, and I don't know, you know, how to spin that. But that was the reality. Tough times. It's very depressing to have your brothers want to kill you and tell you about it. All of them. It's like, let's kill him. It's like very demoralizing. And they decided we won't kill him. We'll throw him into a pit with scorpions and snakes. Great. Much better being down there with scorpions and snakes like all over you. Okay, they took him out and they sold him to the Yishma'elim. Next, things start looking up a little bit. You know, he's doing well, successful, everything. And then he gets tempted by Eshes Potiphar, which, you know, we all can relate a little bit. When you're vulnerable, Yitzhara does a much better job. You know what I mean? When you have a great day in yeshiva, it's much less of a temptation to go do something stupid. You had a great day in yeshiva, you're learning well, you're feeling connected, it's all great, right? But right now, it's just a rough day, so, you know, a person's just weak, he's feeling weak. So, Yosef's in like a pretty vulnerable state right now, all alone, no one else in Mitzrayim. By the way, the Mitzrayim hate Jews, just so you should know that. Where do we know the Mitzrayim hate Jews? Anyone? Before that. That's good. but that's when power decided to create this propaganda, anti-Semitism. But even before that, the Mitzvah always hated Jews. Nope. I got a very simple, like nothing too scandalous about this. When the Shvatim came, anyone who's learning Chumash, the Shvatim came back with Binyamin. So they were brought to Yosef's house. They didn't know it was Yosef. They thought his name was Shafnas Paneach. Not yet. That's good. Even before that. You're good. You're two for two. But there's even one before that. They brought back to Yosef's house to Shafnas Paneach, and they're going to eat a meal there. How did they eat? The Mitzvah at one table. And the Jews at another table. Why did they eat that way? Does anyone know?
Because they hated them.
Because they hated Jews. Here it is.
The Jews hated them.
Nope. They hated the Jews. Jews are not haters. The Mitzvah are haters. Here we go. I'm gonna read it to you. You ready? I'm reading you the pasuk inside. Here it is. Here, no, this is before that. I don't know. Man, let's see what Rashi says about that.
The best.
It is. Here it is. Perek Mem Gimel Pasuk Lamed Beis. Vayasimu loy levadoy velahem levadom. The pasuk says, "He placed for him by himself and them by themselves." The Mitzrim ate separately. Ki lo yuchlun haMitzrim lechol es haIvrim lechem, ki soeva hi leMitzrayim. It is a abomination to eat with the davar sani who unklus nasan tam ledavar. Unkla says, "D'chalin le ivrin achlin." Yeah. Correct. Okay. So a kitzer.
A par didn't know Yosef was a Jew.
I don't have that clear exactly how that worked. Did the whole culture know that he was Jewish? Because if they did, like, wouldn't that? Whatever. I don't have it clear. But let's leave it alone for now. I know. Let's leave it alone for now. Yeah. Yes, you're right again. You're on a roll today. If you're feeling good about yourself, that means you're not going to do anything stupid tonight, right? Okay, Rabbi Sai. A kid, sir. Yosef is here in Mitzrayim. He is hated because he's a Jew. They don't like Jews. And now he's being tempted by the lady of the house. So he stands firm. He's Eimed Ben Yisayin, great Hashem, be nice to me. It doesn't happen. He ends up getting thrown into a jail. Pardon me for using not nice words. That stinks, okay? That stinks!
That's a bad word.
That's a bad word.
Wow.
That, I mean, come on! Can I get a break? Can a man get a guy to break over here? Now he's like wallowing. Now let me explain to you what jail is. Jail is not behind bars with like a bed, you know, where with just like a sink or anything like that. Jail is being in a pit. In a dark pit, in a dungeon. Jail is horrible. With like maggots, all of they had like lice in their hair, and it's disgusting. I'll explain to you something. We have English. There's a place called the famous courtyard. I'm going to say Tate, but I'm wrong. What's the famous courtyard in London? The famous court, the
London Dungeons.
No. The court where people go to court. The
liquid court.
What?
The high court, the magistrates.
Yeah, there's a word for it. There's a name for it. Not Tate or something like that. Just called the high court.
The Tans.
Maybe it's called the High Court. Over there, you have someone who's a barrister. The barrister wears a wig. Did you ever see that?
Yeah,
the English hockey wigs.
This the English barrister.
The judge as well.
Why are they wearing wigs? Let me tell you why, so you should know.
I never knew that. I always wanted that.
I'll tell you why they wear wigs. These interesting English people. Do you know why? Avi or Ellie? I'm very bold. I'm going to get it. Ellie, you know why they wear wigs? I'll tell you why. Because when they're in the courtroom with convicts, people that have been in jail, the people in jail usually had lots of lice and other types of terrible things that people don't want to get into their hair. So the lawyers who are going to be talking to them and interacting with them, and the judges didn't want to catch their lice. So what they put a wig over their head in order to
the way lice
what do they still do
because English don't know how to change that's why it's the reason English is like that's the way we do things over here that's why
they want to catch lice go through that and that gets and that catches that lice.
What'd you say?
If you wear something
no because they don't
that
gets
lice.
They probably don't they probably won't go to they only go on human hair or they'd rather be on a scalp and you take it off. They don't live long without being on a person's body.
No, but if that gets lice, then you got lice.
No, take it off. Lice lives 24
hours off your head.
What?
Lice only lives 24 hours.
Okay, I'm not saying the English did it. Like, it was such a good idea, but that's what they did. Anyway, Akitzer, my point is like this. If that's what an English jail looked like, you know, 200 years ago, imagine what it looked like in Mitzrayim. It was horrible!
That's disposable.
And Yosef's down there languishing in this jail, right? Dancing. Yes, yeah, so we're going to get to that. We spoke about this before. Yosef sees these two fellows, right? And they are like sad. It's just like, my brothers, why are you so sad?
My brothers.
Like, telling you, brothers.
Why are you so sad? I punched the guy in the face. Am I so sad? You kidding? I used to work in the palace, and now I'm here in like this dungeon. I might be killed, which happened to one of them, right? Why am I sad? Are you crazy? Everybody say it boils down to that we all have to be breastless, but we're going to get to that in a second. It's not breastless; it's just breastless just highlights that. But this is the idea. Yosef was able to keep cool and calm, even probably in the darkest time a person could possibly imagine going through, where he keeps on getting just betrayed, keeps on getting shut down. He doesn't get a break. He's not just not getting any good breaks, and Yosef is still there, and he's like, "Why are you sad? Why are you sad?" Not only that, but the Medrash says Yosef called him the jumping man. What does that mean? The Zohar says Yosef was dancing in prison. He was dancing. Yosef could dance in prison after all that he's been going through, after being sold by his brothers, after them wanting to kill him, after being accused of a crime he didn't commit, after being put into jail and all that. Yosef is dancing. Yosef had the strongest emunah. And how do I know that? Because he's called Yosef Atzadik. And what does Tzadik mean? Pasuk says in a Chabakuk, Tzadok Be'amunasoy Yichya. They called him Yosef Atzadik. That wasn't just like just a name, like he was a good person. That means that Yosef had rock, strong Amuna. Like a rock. Tzadik Be'amunasoy Yichya. He breathed Amuna. He lived Amuna. Every single second he was there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him. Every single place he went, the darkest places, the toughest time, Yosef was there. Yosef was connected. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him. And therefore he's able to be Omer on his side. And all the challenges that Yosef faced, all the difficulties, Yosef was able to stay. Now, it's important for us to understand, it doesn't just mean you're able to grit and bear it and work through it. Yosef was able to stay happy. Stay happy with it. Now, you know, when a person's like going online to get food for supper, and the guy next to you accidentally splashes and he gets like sauce all over your pants. Like, I just cleaned these pants. Right? So now a person can get two things. You can get frustrated with the situation, you can get angry at the guy.
Or you can get happy.
Or you can stay happy, you can start dancing. Or you can start
love
dancing.
To see that actually happen down
here. You be careful, because Rafael Gelli's getting very in the zone. I see it happening.
We'll
I see it.
If it happens,
I don't know if I told you the story about someone by the name of someone from Al Dafna who was killed in a car crash.
Yeah,
I told you that story. His name is Radio. The Radio.
What?
I'm trying to remember what his name is. What?
That family was killed.
No, he's
no. When his house was taken,
his house was robbed.
When did this happen? Oh yeah.
I don't know what his name was. I don't remember his name right now, but I told you last time. But the guy who was dancing when they stole everything from his house.
That's crazy.
What? It was Mount Daphne, 139. He was my neighbor in Mount Daphne. I used to live in Mount Daphne. My neighbor in Mount Daphne. But but basically the way it works is there's two extremely important things. We're going to teach you tools now. We basically lay down all the Yisaitis of Amunah. Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef. I want to teach you tools in Amunah. There's two critical tools. One is a person has to work on his Amunah with the small things. You can't just wake up one day and have your entire house cleared out for you and dance. It just doesn't work. A person has to learn how to work on the teeny little things. What happens if you go for a haircut and the guy accidentally cuts your hair a little too short?
I don't know that.
Yeah, can you walk out of this smile? Can you give him an extra tip? Can you give him a few extra? You know, that's the way that I try to. Yeah, can I give him the money happy or like? Sure. Am I like? I'm not paying you. Ugh. I didn't do it on purpose. If you did it on purpose, then maybe you shouldn't pay him. Okay, it's a whole Shiloh, whatever. I'm not saying a person should do things, but if you didn't do it on purpose, if the guy is standing there and you want to like go get your food and someone accidentally spills sauce on you, you didn't do it on purpose. It was an accident. So there's small things that we can start working on. A guy accidentally drips on your shoes. So okay, your shoes, you just like clean them. I mean, especially if they're like, if they're suede, it's a different story. It might be a little bit more difficult, but you know, you accidentally get like a little like a pen mark on your shirt. Okay, you know, that's small. But if a person, you know, puts all of his shirts into the wash and accidentally puts it in with his, you know, purple sock, and now he's got all purple shirts. It's a little harder. Now all my shirts are purple, right? So, but it's person's got to work.
Exact story.
On steps in Amunah, Rabbi say, start with the little things. And then you're going to be able to deal with the big things. We're going to talk about that. The other thing is, you have to see the lights along the path. We spoke about that with Yosef HaTzadik. What was Yosef's light along the path? I don't remember. The spices. Instead of being sold to a tanner, he was sold to someone with spices. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him just a little kiss. It's like, I'm here with you. The person's got to be ready to see that. You got to look for all of the gifts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent you a silver lining in a cloud. You got a cloud, it's dark. Got a silver lining, which means that there's something that glistens over there. Something good. We're going to talk about that. Next time.